Yeah. So don't be afraid of the truth. One of the tenets at my company is seek and tell the truth. Seek and tell the truth. And that's based on a verse in the Bible from when I was a hardcore Christian by Jesus, where he said, seek the truth because the truth shall set you free.
Hey, babes, it's Kayla Kraft with the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. I'm a mom of three littles, ER nurse turned self-made millionaire, and lifestyle entrepreneur. I am bringing you inspiring stories, business and mindset tips to help you be shameless in pursuing your ambitions.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm excited to talk all things sales, branding, marketing, masterminds, all of the things.
But I feel like I want to get to know you a little bit more and your business story, because I don't know. It seems like anyone that's successful in network marketing will just like be successful at anything in life that they do.
Oh my gosh. Totally.
Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. If you can make $1 million in network marketing, you could do anything after that. But you do have to like learn, like what I realized after transitioning from network marketing to like regular like digital marketing is it's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
But I made 7 figures in less than a year. Like because I already had all of the mindset work.
You're talking about when you transitioned to...
When I transitioned to Mommy Millionaire.
To Mommy Millionaire. Okay.
Yeah, because I had that mindset work. I knew how to network. Yeah. I knew how to create the hype around what I was doing. But I did not understand like launching or email sequencing. I was like, what is this?
You know? So you had those core skills of... Obviously, you know how to sell.
Yes.
You know how to lead. You know how to create content and build awareness around something. So what were the skills that you had to add to get to 7 figures in your own personal brand?
Well, first of all, like learning how to build a team.
Yeah.
And like, I am a control freak like crazy.
Great.
And so I like—
That's an advantage.
Yeah.
It is. Totally. Totally.
But if you want to go quicker, you can almost bottleneck yourself if you're the one doing all the things.
Yeah.
I learned how to get an assistant and then like start hiring out all the, like I was making my own graphics. I was doing like everything.
Really?
Yeah. Blogging. I was doing all that kind of stuff on my own.
Wow.
So it was a big release to like hand that over to somebody.
Okay. I'm just super excited to ask these questions about this. Cause like a lot of people that are, would you consider yourself a creative?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So,
yes.
So a lot of people that are creative, they are not good with like the tech side, or they're not good with like making things
because
on the back end.
That's their story.
Or
it's like, oh, it's too hard.
Talk about that. Talk about that. Did you ever have a moment where you were like, oh, I can't do whatever thing? Or were you always like, fuck that, I can do anything?
I just watched Google and figured it out 7 years ago when I started my first website. But it's like, that's the thing is like, we all live by a narrative.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like my narrative was like, whatever I decide I'm going to do, I'm going to do. So like, there's no roadblocks in front of me. I will figure this out. You know, and I bought like certain courses to figure
Were you around people that had that mentality? Did your parents raise you that way? Or did you have friends early on that were that way?
Okay. So I had an interesting, do you know about like, have you heard my whole background story?
No.
Okay,
no.
Cool. Yay. I'm so excited to share it. And you're going to share yours too.
Because
I know you have a really cool story.
Thank you.
So, I was raised by a single mom.
Okay.
And my parents were divorced when I was like 5. My dad was a drug addict.
My parents were divorced when I was 2.
Just like, you know, like having a father that was absent made me super resilient.
Yeah.
Because the one person that's supposed to love you in your life was like, abandoned me, basically.
Yes.
And so that was hard, you know? But when I got to building my business, it helped. Then I became super grateful. I was like, oh my gosh. Because if you can get through that and become like a great person, toot my own horn, but I was like a good person.
Right.
And I'm like, nothing is worse than having your own dad like abandon you.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Right.
Well, my dad actually passed away a year ago. So it's like, obviously he didn't abandon me, you know, he passed with cancer, but it's like, I remember the amount of emotional like resilience I developed through that time.
Oh yeah.
While still having to run the business, grow the team. The business was going through a tough time a year ago at the exact same time. So it was really bad timing. But now I feel like having gone through that, having dealt with the grief of that, that I can take on anything.
Yes.
Like I am literally so much more capable and strong than I could have imagined before.
Yes.
That.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're the same way. It's like,
yeah.
But Do you have days where you're grateful for that, where you wake
100%.
Up? 100%.
Like, I ended up writing him a letter, like, when was it, like, five or six years ago, basically just saying thank you. Like, you had to live, like, this horrible life, basically, mm-hmm. for me to have this extravagant life now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm mm-hmm. so thankful for you.
Yeah.
And I just have massive compassion because, like, drug addiction, it's a disease, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a huge problem in this world. So, anyway, when I got started in my business, like, some of the skills I had to develop were not so much like anything tactical, really.
Yeah.
I feel like you can hire it out or you can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to develop compassion for people, which is weird to say that because I was an ER nurse before.
Right.
So, like, obviously you have to have compassion. But because of the way that I grew up, I was always like that tough love. Like, listen, like, your life isn't that bad. Get it together. Let's go. Like, yep. I was just that tough yep. love type of person.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with all these people that have these traumatic stories and these traumatic histories, and you're trying to get them to build a business,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have to have compassion.
Yeah. especially early on.
Oh my gosh.
In their business career.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they go through a mass, and I've learned this. I've coached now over 1,000 fit pros and health pros to grow full-time online businesses.
That's so awesome.
And so when you do it this 1,000 times,
yeah.
you start to notice patterns. And oftentimes, the most difficult mindset shift for someone to make is from employee to entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
It's
yes.
from fixed mindset, somebody else creates my structure, to I create my own structure.
Yeah.
And that can be, like, in some ways traumatizing for a person, like, literally the process of the transition. Have you found the same thing with you coaching your clients?
Totally. That just happened. I was doing a live coaching call in my membership group today. And, like, we're trained at a very young age to be employees, mm-hmm. live for the paycheck.
Yeah.
And so it's scary, like, signing up as an entrepreneur and saying, I'm okay with signing up for a life of uncertainty.
Yeah.
Basically. Because yeah. when you're getting that paycheck, it's like, it's just because you're craving certainty.
Mm.
Because something mm-hmm. in your childhood yeah. scared you.
Right.
And made you crave certainty. Right.
Yeah.
So, like, when I started network marketing when I was 23, it took me 2.5 years to quit my job as a nurse, even mm-hmm. though I was making like $750,000 a year.
Yeah.
But I, like, wouldn't. I was like scared.
You're like, I
was,
like, need this paycheck.
I do. Like, it's this whole thing. And then finally I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, like, if that money were to go away tomorrow, I would know how to rebuild it. Like, so it's just a matter of when you switch into entrepreneurship, it's a matter of learning how to trust yourself.
Yeah.
And betting on yourself.
I found this. So, actually, an interesting story that I don't think I've ever shared on the
Ooh,
podcast.
Ooh, I love new stories.
Yeah. So I don't think I've shared on anyone else's
okay,
podcast.
Good.
But I try and think about, like, what were the formative experiences that caused me to be the kind of business person that I am today? I constantly think about that because I hope that in sharing those stories, or, like, sharing the lessons from them, mm-hmm. other people can skip the pain or skip the
yeah.
challenges that I had to go through. Obviously, that's yeah. why we're coaches, to help people get there faster.
Right.
But when I first decided to move to California, I was moving here, or planning to move here from Florida, because I was going to be in seminary. I was going to study to be a pastor. Are you familiar with seminary means?
Yeah, Chase went to that for a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I was, like, a super hardcore Christian from 16 to 24. And when I was 22, I decided to move out here, but I was broke as a joke. And I had just been fired from being a server. Like,
why'd you get fired?
Well, I was a very friendly person, but I was, like, terribly disorganized.
Okay.
So where I would, like, forget to put people's orders in. I forgot to greet people. Like, I just didn't notice them in my section. It was terrible.
Yeah.
I was so bad. And I was working at literally the nicest restaurant in Orlando, like, literally top three, Luma on Park in Winter Park. And so the management was like, we like you and we get compliments on your stuff from the people that you show up for.
Yeah.
But the others, you know, we just can't do it. So I was fired.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh that you got fired. But
no,
that was probably a good thing.
No, I'm offended that you would laugh, but it's all right. I'll get over it. No, but when that happened, I had been scared to move to California prior to that. I was like, you know, I want to move to California because there's a school out here that I wanted to go to in Pasadena.
Which one was it?
It's called Fuller Theological Seminary.
Okay.
Yeah, in Pasadena. And, but I was scared. I was like, you know, I can't do it. What if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? What if I go broke? And I talked to my mom and I was, like, sharing all my fears around this. And she was like, dude, you're already broke. Like, what's the worst that could happen? She's just like that tough love.
Yeah.
She was like, literally, what is the worst that could, like, tell me? And I was like, well, I run out of money there and I move back here. Like, well, you'd be in the exact same position as you started.
Sometimes we need those people to reflect that stuff back to us because we'll get lost in, like, a hallucination.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't see the forest for the trees in that moment. And so what she was doing is projecting out. And this is what we do now to help new entrepreneurs, people that are trying to make an income. It's like, a lot of them are scared to maybe invest in themselves, right?
Yes.
For the first time. Many people, it's like, I've never invested in myself. Maybe I should just try it on my own. Maybe mm-hmm. I should just, like, work on that for a while. But what they feel to, re- what the reason where that's coming from is like they're scared to screw it up. Mm-hmm. They're scared to like be worse off than they are right now. But what most of them don't realize is like you can't get any worse off than like being constantly unfulfilled, making it on a paycheck that just covers the bills or right. whatever. And so the only way out is to use other people's money. It's to use credit to get the skills you need to get free.
Okay. I am so glad that you're talking that you bring up the credit thing.
Great.
Because I feel like a lot of people have this story because they're like Dave Ramsey fans, which I love Dave Ramsey. Nothing bad.
You got it wrong, Dave.
But he's
Dave
so...
Hey, you watching this, Dave, right now? Are you listening right now? Okay.
But like so many people like have it in their minds that like putting something like in like this, like joining a mastermind, you know, working yep. with a mentor that actually knows what they're doing yep. is a bad thing to put that on a credit card. And I'm like, that is the number one thing I would put on a credit card all day long. Over and over.
Well, here's the thing. Dave Ramsey, I know he means well, but yeah. he is literally handicapping the income of millions of Americans because of this philosophy.
Yeah.
And it's saying, essentially, it's too simplistic to say that all debt is bad.
Right.
Or all debt is the same in that it's bad. Life is much more nuanced than black and white like that.
Yes.
And so while he's trying to tell people, like, I think at its core is like, don't go into debt for a vacation or for a car or things like that yeah. that are not going to bring money back to you.
Right.
Those things are, they are debt in the truest sense of the word. Okay. It's a loss you take on to have them. But on the other hand, if you use debt to acquire skills that can help make you more, then that's called an investment. And
right.
that's a good investment. And if you can use other people's money to make that investment because you need to or whatever, you can do it. Because not only will you be able to pay them back, unlike if you took out money for a vacation,
right.
but you'll be way better off than mm-hmm. if you didn't or you tried to figure it out on your own.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Fired me up. I just had on this guy who's a billionaire. And Marshall Silver, you know him?
Uh-uh.
I need to connect you guys. Okay,
yeah.
He's awesome. He's a hypnotist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he puts on
shows.
He became
a billionaire?
Yes.
As a hypnotist?
Yeah.
What?
He lives down in San Diego, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
But the way that he did it, long story, you'll have to listen to the podcast on him. But
okay.
I said, if you have an extra $100,000 right now, what would you do with it? And I thought he was going to say like invest in like real estate or something like that. He said, no, I would invest it in myself. I would find whoever
wow.
has exactly what I want right now and exchange money to find out how I can get to where I want to be quicker. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
Respect.
Yeah, I loved it.
So tell me this. When was like the first big investment you made into yourself? Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh, that's a really good question. I feel like the first thing I remember buying was Shalene Johnson's Marketing Impact, which was like $2,000
right,
or something like that.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then my first business coach was like $2,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge for me. I was like, oh my gosh, I get to talk to him twice a month for 30 minutes. And I was like, this is crazy. People do this. And then that, like I always, his name was Matthew Ferry. And have you ever heard of him? He's amazing.
Look, is he good?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have to connect you with all the people.
All these new friends. Yay.
But he changed my life. And so
wow.
I'm like, you know, I look back and I'm like, I would have paid like 5x that to have that experience with him. And so I believe so much in investing in yourself because it's that one moment in time, especially when you're working one-on-one with somebody, when you have those people that can point out all your blind spots that are completely like sabotaging your life, you know? So.
Did you have a lot of fear though, like coming up to that investment? Like, oh, should I do it? Should I not do it? Or were you like, no, I need this.
I was just like, I need this.
Wow.
Yeah. I was stuck. So I was making like 800 grand a year for like 2 years in a row. And I couldn't get past that mark.
Yeah.
And so I was like, something's wrong with me. I need help.
Yeah.
And
totally.
So it was like that pain of saying stuck, you know, I wanted.
Well, I get that too, because when because the first time that I made a big investment in myself, like I was literally homeless.
What
like,
was it?
I was living in my Honda Accord at the time, actually here in Southern California.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember hearing this story.
Oh, really?
I want everybody else to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. So I was living in Los Angeles and I had for 5 months at this time been homeless, living out of my Honda.
Where are you taking a shower?
A gym. You get a gym membership. I was at 24 Hour Fitness. Yeah, easy. Yeah, it's like $30. It was like $30 a month.
I used to work at 24 Hour Fitness.
Hey, all right. All right, you to check me in when
yeah.
I come in.
Yeah. I was like, why is he so smelly? No.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this guy's definitely homeless. Gross. Yeah, that would have been your reaction. But yeah, for 5 months I was homeless. And that was when I started my training business. The same month I went homeless, I decided I was going to become an online trainer. I didn't make any money the first couple months. I didn't make much money the first 5 months, obviously. And it all changed for me though when I was down in Encinitas, which I'm sure you know people in Encinitas, super spiritual community, lots of coaches out there doing cuddle puddles and all that kind of stuff.
Oh God, spiritual. I need to Google that.
Yeah. You don't know what a cuddle puddle is?
No.
You might not want to know what it is.
I'm kind of scared to Google it.
Yeah.
Jimmy's going to Google it.
Yeah. It's definitely something to hear about and maybe laugh about. But no, I was part of that whole community. Anyway, so I was down there and this was the first group of friends that I'd ever made where they were successful coaches. Like they were entrepreneurs. So growing up, I didn't have any connection to entrepreneurs. I didn't know about this world. I certainly didn't believe it was possible for me. But I started hanging around them. And one night, it was late at night, they have all these gatherings. Like people hang out and connect. They just love connection all the time.
Okay.
They love the cuddle puddles. Exactly. I mean, you can like draw, you can figure out what it is by the name. But anyway, so one night I was sharing this sob story. I'm like, I'm trying everything. I'm trying webinars. I'm trying eBooks. I'm trying building a website. But no one's buying my training, my online training. Like, what gives? What am I doing wrong? And I basically was telling her just so that she'd feel sorry for me. Because I hope that if she felt sorry for me, I'd feel better about myself. But
she was
And she was a good coach though. She was like 5'5", running an online life coaching business. She looked at me dead in the face and she was like, okay, who's mentoring you? And it was like, to me at that moment, I was like, what kind of question is that? Like, obviously I don't have a mentor. I don't have enough money for a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, that is the exact problem that would be solved if you got a mentor.
Mm.
In that moment, she helped me see my issue wasn't that I didn't have resources. I didn't have money. It was that I didn't have the skills needed to make money whenever I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So my problem wasn't a lack of money. It was a lack of skills. And so in that moment, I was like, I got to use other people's money to get these skills because that's the only thing that's going to set me free. So I went to my dad and I said, Dad, can you give me some money for this coaching program? Because I'd already maxed out credit cards, literally just like paying for gas and stuff. I was really struggling. And so I couldn't use my own credit. So I was like, hey, can you hook me up? And thankfully my dad did. He helped. He gave me the money that I needed to invest in that first coach. So that next month though, That was a little bit scary because it was my, you know, it was my dad's money. I wanted to make him proud.
Like, I need to give it back.
To get it back as soon as possible. And so that first month, I made $4,000 in that coaching program, which was like a huge amount of money to me at that time, coming from literally nothing. And so I paid off some pressing debts. I made enough to have a month's rent somewhere to eat three meals a day and like all the essentials, which was awesome. Take a shower in my own bathroom, things like that. And then I didn't have enough money though to make the second payment to this particular mentor that I started with. And so I was like, what the hell am I going to do? Am I going to just drop out and go back to trying to figure this out on my own? Or is there something that I can't think of right now that'll help me?
See, that's a good question.
What do you mean? Which question?
Well, I feel like people ask themselves bad questions.
Right.
And you just said, is there something else?
Is there something else?
Right.
Yeah. Is there another way that maybe I'm not currently aware of or seeing? Yeah. So that's resourcefulness.
Yes.
Anyone has access to that, just ask better questions. So I said, is there another way? And I was looking outside on the balcony of the place where I was staying, and I looked down at my car. Now, at this, literally what I had just been living in a month prior, but I looked in that and I said, you know, this used to be my freedom, but now this will be my burden. This will hold me back from my dream if I hang on to it when I could invest it into getting mentoring. So this was 2:00. By 4:00, I'd listed it on Craigslist. By 9:00, someone gave me $4,000 cash and drove away.
Wow.
With my car. It was like, I was all in.
Yeah, but that's how you have to be.
Right.
You can't be one foot in and one foot out. You have to freaking jump in. And that's exactly what you did in that moment.
Yep.
Why are people so scared to do what you did?
Well, first of all, they must think that their life is going to be worse off if they jump rather than if they stay the same. They don't imagine. One thing that most people do not do is they don't think, if my life doesn't change, will I be happy in a year?
Yep.
Will I be happy in 3 years? Will I be happy in 10? They never stop to project out into the future their current reality.
Yep.
Because if they don't invest, if they don't get uncomfortable right now, their life will absolutely be the same in a year or 10 years or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have a vision of changing people's lives. I am going to be successful, not just for me, but I'm going to inspire other people one day to do the same.
Yeah.
I had a bigger mission. I had a bigger vision than just let me take care of me.
Yeah.
And as a result, I was like, I'll do whatever the fuck I got to do.
Yeah.
And also, I heard a great story by Tony Robbins tells this story about Hernan Cortez. Have you heard the story about burning the boat? Oh my gosh, this is so cool. So there's some Spanish explorers long time ago that came down to Mexico to conquer that area. And when they first arrived, they were getting off of the boats, moving onto the shore to go and conquer the area. Now, what Hernan Cortez ordered his men to do as soon as they landed and docked the boats was to set the boats on fire.
Okay.
And the reason why
yeah.
is because he didn't want his people to think, here's our escape route in mm-hmm. case things don't go well. Mm-hmm. His mindset was, we are going to conquer one way or another, and there is no other way out. Mm-hmm. And so when Tony explained that, he said, if you want to take the island, you have to burn the boats. At that moment, I was like, my boat is my car. In this context. And if I actually want to make online trading work, if it's actually my dream and it's a must for me, then I got to cut off my escape route.
Yeah.
Because then I will definitely, what I've found is this, when people have to be successful, they will be.
Right. You rise to the occasion.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love that. So we got to all burn the boats.
You got to all burn the boats. Yeah. Well, it's, here's the thing. You can burn the boats or you can just stay where you are. Like my people are, I've coached over 1,000, over 100 in the last year have become six-figure earners, which I think is where, like, literally when you start making six figures, you start to have the lifestyle that you really want.
Right.
Like, you can have most of what you want lifestyle-wise, about anywhere between $8,000 and $16,000 a month. You can pretty much do, you can eat wherever you want, whenever you want. You could travel whenever you want. You can live in a decent place, et cetera.
Right.
Wouldn't you say?
Well,
is it at a million? Is it only at a million, Kayla?
Well, I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day because, I mean, I understand, like, I could never go back to just making 16 grand a month.
Of course.
I would die.
Yeah, like, yeah. And I couldn't either.
Right. So it's just like, once you expand to that, and I remember at 23, I was already making six figures as an ER nurse.
Wow.
But I asked myself that question that you just said a couple minutes ago of, if this was my life in 10 years, would I be happy? And I was like, heck no. Heck no.
Right.
And it was because, like, I knew that I was capable of so much more. And I saw these other people that were super successful, billionaires that had their own private jets. I would see them. And I'm like, if there's nothing different than me and him. Like, I'm freaking smart. I'm freaking resourceful. And I think a lot of people, they go, oh, they put that person on a pedestal.
Right.
And they think that there's something different.
I mean, that is so good.
Well, I think it was because, like, the way that I was raised, right? I had a lot of self-doubt and stuff like that because I was, like, shameful of who my dad was. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, he's in jail. And I thought, if people knew that, then they're going to think I'm a bad person. Mm-hmm. And so I had this whole, like, mindset struggle. And my mom taught me to never say out loud what I didn't want to be true. And so,
wow, that's so cool.
Right. Like, she was crazy. Like, if we would say, no, I love you, mom, if you're listening, but if we would say that we were sick or something, she would put, like, Tabasco in our mouth. Like, you don't say that. Like,
right.
You don't speak out loud anything that you don't want to be true. So it trained me to start saying things that I wanted to be true and, like, learning visualization at a, like, super young age. Like, I would see myself as, like, a powerful woman. Like, when I was 8, I could see myself, like, being a lawyer fighting for single moms to get child support. Like,
wow.
I would just, like, see these things.
Wow.
And it was all, thank God for my mom, like, just saying that kind of stuff. Even though she didn't necessarily model it for me, she would say these things. And it really stuck in. And so, like, I remember at 13, I would walk around and be like, I'm the most beautiful girl here. Like, I would say things that are like no other 13-year-old was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But I, like, became like, you know, you kind of can make yourself believe.
Right.
Not you kind of. You can make yourself believe anything you want. So I grew up thinking I could do whatever the heck I wanted to do.
Wow.
Right? So that's how I got
there.
You have to brainwash yourself.
Yeah. Do you give that as a practice for your people is to, like, change their language?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I always say your language forms your world. And so the main thing I'm always reflecting back to my clients is, like, you just said right there, you're trying. Like, you know, I'll just say, you just said this. Like, no wonder why you're not successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate the word try. Do you like the word try?
No. I have to do it.
Right.
Yeah, it's must.
The only way.
Yeah,
it's
will do
option.
It. I commit to it. Yeah, make it happen.
Yeah.
So one thing that I notice when I experience you and I experience your brand and the way that you show up online is it's really obvious that you deeply care for your people.
Yeah.
That you really care about their success, about them as people, about their lives. Where did you develop that? Because you said that compassion wasn't easy for you to build.
Okay, I know. So I had a hard time with listening to people's excuses because I didn't understand that it was a little girl talking inside of them. And so that's what I realize now is that everybody's little girl is driving the bus of their life.
Yeah.
And so I realized that if we can talk to the little girl inside of us, and what I mean by that is, like, for me, when I talk to people, they might have had like maybe a traumatic experience of their parents getting a divorce or getting made fun of for being fat when they were little. And so they started to doubt themselves. Mm. And that little girl is still in their mind saying, you know, don't speak up. People will make fun of you. And she's like running the show the majority of the day. Mm-hmm. And so now I know that's just the little girl talking, and I need to just make sure that the big girl becomes in charge. Yeah. So it's just an awareness of that.
So is it awareness of the little girl that's running their life that causes you to be like, oh, like,
yeah, I'm talking to the little girl. Let me show her some love really quick and say everything's okay. And then we wake big girl up to take over.
Right. Because big girl's been asleep. The big girl like take ownership. You got this. Mm-hmm. You can handle it is not at the wheel.
No. And so it's just a matter of not. And I think a lot of people will go like and hate that little girl that's like making them make bad decisions. But all she needs is love. Because that was her number one problem. So I just learned to respond in love to everything and respond in love to the little girl inside of you.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk about language a little bit more because I love this like personal development language kind of stuff. I always tell people that when I have kids, but what I won't do and what I won't allow them to do is use victim language, which is I can't.
Oh, yeah.
Or they made me do it. Or I really should, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I think that those kinds of things are actually the thing that's keeping us from having what we really want in life.
100%. So with my kids, I have 3 kids, 9, 7, and 5.
Okay.
And yesterday they came home with report cards. And I didn't even care about like anything on there except for the you know, how is their self-control? How is like all of those like characteristics?
Behavioral stuff.
Yeah. And there's only like the report card's so long and then there's like 5 little things over here. And I'm like, this is all I care about. Whatever, none of that other stuff matters. And I told them that. I was like, this is what matters. But my kids will tell you, you can't say I can't. Like we teach them champion mindset from day one because it's all a mindset thing. So that's awesome. When are you going to have kids?
Not today. Not sure, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely all about that dad life one day. Yeah, but I think that marriage or a relationship would probably be good. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Who knows? Hey, if you're listening right now and you're looking to also have kids. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, this could be the matchmaker show. There's probably a lot of people that will be watching this.
The millionaire matchmaker show.
Yeah. So I think that it is very important to, even like as in friendships, always be reflecting back to people like their limiting beliefs that they speak out loud and don't let people enroll themselves in those excuses.
So whenever you hear somebody like in your coaching or that maybe comes to your live events or something, when you hear them say anything like I can't or maybe one day or whatever.
Just stop them immediately.
Immediately. Okay. You're like, did you just hear yourself?
Break the pattern. Yeah. Break the pattern. Do you do that too?
Oh, totally. I'm like.
Because they don't even realize that they're saying it. They're like, did I just say that? I mean, and that's why I have a coach because I'll say dumb stuff too. And they'll be like, listen to yourself.
One of my favorite things is I'll just cut off my shit. It'll be like, blah, 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 blah. And they never expect it. It's like, oh, I'm really tired. I don't know if I can serve my clients.
That would not work with my people.
Yeah. They'd be like, okay, I don't respect you, Sterling. All right. I'm a mommy millionaire. No, but my FitPro people, they're down. Like all my people are super goofy like me. They're like a little,
you attract
most of my people are pretty weird. Literally one of our company tenants. Thank you very much. I
actually like it when people say I'm weird.
Yeah, of course.
It's a compliment. I don't want to be like
that. It's like, what's the alternative? You're normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly the same.
You're very boring. You're vanilla.
Like, no, that's stupid. That would suck. I'd much rather be weird and different. Yeah. So tell me about, I want to talk about branding because, are you okay to talk about that?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Because branding is like anybody that looks at your stuff, they're going to notice that your brand is very intentional. The way you show up, the way your pictures are, the way that you communicate to your people, it's very intentional. It's not an accident. And I think that really serves you in your business. I know you talk about branding with your students and with your clients, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Okay. So talk to me about how do you go about helping someone form a brand for the first time? Like maybe they have a business. Cause I think it's always business model first, brand second. That's my approach. Like, let's get you freaking paid and then we'll figure out the brand later. Okay. Cause I want to get people like quitting their job as soon as possible and then going to the, what I call the fancier stuff. But branding is super important, especially if you want to build a lasting business. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about like what that process looks like for?
Well, first and foremost, everybody can head to mommymillionaire.co and there's a free resource over there on a free branding questionnaire that will help you right away.
Oh, perfect.
And what it is like you have to figure out who you're talking to. So yeah. I started doing this like 5 years ago. It's like, who exactly am I talking to when it comes to me, you know, doing network marketing? And then like I had a girl named Ashley and I knew everything about Ashley.
Yeah,
I knew all of my stuff I was creating was for Ashley.
Yes.
And I was just so focused in on adding value to her. Mm. And then now with Mommy Millionaire, I have a different avatar for all four of my different programs.
That
you know, so you're just constantly like making content and like saying, what would she like to see?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
so the brand always begins with the person.
Customer,
yeah. With an ideal customer. Right. Yeah. Well, in that
sense, I think that's the best way to do it.
So in that sense, I'm a huge fan of branding then, if that's the process.
That's me. I mean, I just made that up. Maybe it's part of the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I do.
Yeah, ideal client first. Yeah, I mean
when people get caught up in logos and colors and like
I
don't even care about that.
Okay.
That does not matter.
Okay.
That does
but
not
the
matter.
Communication, the messaging is what I hear you saying then.
Messaging is everything.
Yeah, messaging is everything.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You
totally.
Can, I mean, yeah, you can go to an ugly landing page, but they're sold before they get to the landing page.
So when people come into my world, let's say that someone's a fit pro or health pro, they come into my world, they join me. Like my first few days, I'm like, let me just do as much of the business stuff for you as can be. Like, here's your membership site for your student. And I can do this because it's fitness and health people. Like I've built this for my people. It couldn't work for anyone else, but I build the membership site. Here's exactly what you give your students. Here's the sales script. Here's exactly what you'll say. Every objection that comes up, you'll use these exact words in response. Here's the content that you're going to post for your first few weeks. Then I'll teach you about content creation for yourself. But at first, just use these because they work and you'll get clients from them. Here's how you message people to book calls and all that kind of stuff. And then after the first week or after the first 2 weeks where they've made, you know, 5, 10, 15 grand, whatever that is, then it's like, okay, let's talk about who it would be your favorite person. Because most people, I think when you're in a place where you have nothing, it's hard for you to like choose. People, I think, more easily fall into a perfectionist mindset. Let me just make it perfect and then.
Yeah.
But I'm like, let's just push you off the freaking ledge and we'll build wings on the way down.
Yeah, I like
with
that.
With business, yeah.
I like that. I mean, most of the stuff that I teach my clients to do is monetize it before you create the content.
There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm about the same model, but as you show up online and as you show up in this world, like you need to know who your message is for.
Oh yeah.
Like 100%.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So what are some mistakes then? Like maybe a top one or two mistakes people make with their brand?
I mean, I think it
makes them look like a fool and make no money.
Well, I think I see a lot of people do this is that they don't make money their first like week that they launch a program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so then they shift and now they're selling something different.
Mm.
I see that. I mean, with people all like sell 10 different programs that literally have nothing to do with each other in a year. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what do you actually do? So if people would just stick with the main thing, like, like I know if you were to come to me right now, I could help you make, you know, $20,000 by changing up your copywriting or whatever.
Right.
But that's not me. FYI.
Right.
But
right.
If I'm working with a copywriter or something like that, they know that they know that. They can definitely help somebody do that. So then you show up and you just serve until you hit your goal.
Mm.
And a lot of people will go, oh, well, this wasn't working. So now I changed up the program messaging and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, just stay. And like hustle on, I don't like the word hustle, but like, I think people, well, whatever. I won't get into that, but.
You don't like hustle?
No, on the hustle thing. So
I love hustling.
No, but well, okay.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a hustler, baby.
Yeah.
So I don't like how people think that you don't, I honestly don't think you need to work 12 hours in a day to make 20 grand.
That's true.
Right. Like you can work so much smarter if you're willing to learn how to like automate your business and, you know, hire out some stuff.
Mm-hmm. And well, that's the only way people get to a million too. It's like, it's never just pure talent that gets you to a million. I always think about business in stages. Like when people come to my world, I have what's called the LC3, the Life Changer Coach Code.
Love all these like methods.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Did you get them on trademark?
I did. Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
I feel like everybody should
have ownership.
Yes.
Totally. Yeah. So Life Changer Coach Code is basically that it explains at each stage revenue wise of your business, what you need to do to move to the next level. So from like 0 to 4,000 a month, you do this. From 4 to 10,000 a month, you do this. From 10 to 20,000, you do this. Or no, 10 to 16,000, you do this. 16 to 25, 25 to 40, and then 40 to 100.
What is the most one of your coaches has made?
Like 60 grand a month.
So what's their mindset like?
Well, they, so what I tell people in scaling is that the mindset you have, their mindset, and I'll explain. So like one of my clients is Kevin Haynes. Kevin Haynes, when he first came to me like a year and a half ago, he was making like $2,000 a month as an online trainer, worked a full-time job as a pharmacist, and like had no idea how to do this.
Yeah.
He was just like, hey, here's some meal plans. Let me just like, you could buy this. And so he had no idea how to do sales. He had no idea how to like make content to attract clients. He didn't know how to deliver it. But little by little, I've helped him form out the foundations of his business where he did $30,000 just last week in his
That's
business.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, $30,000 just last week.
Go, Kevin.
But the way that you get to that place is, first of all, you make enough money through basic skills to where it covers your bills. Then you get better at those skills, and then you hire out your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually you get so good, you have to hire out your strengths, because there's only so much time you can do your strengths. So for example, one of his last hires was a salesperson. It's like, once you learn sales, it is the most profitable activity in your business up until seven figures. Then it's like marketing and scaling marketing that you have to do as a profitable activity. And so for him, it was like, I got to hire a salesperson. That was a hard thing. It's like, I'm good at this. I know predictably, yeah, if I show up, I'm going to close this freaking deal. But
that's
he
so
was
going to
be handicapped. Are you that way too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I get it. And when you're really good at sales, it's kind of like you can feel attached to that process too. Cause I've sold millions and
yeah,
exactly. Same thing. But when I learned that in order for my business to go to eight figures, we're like mid seven right now. In order for us to get to eight figures, it's like, I have to not just do more of my strength, which is what I did to this point, but I have to let go and have other people do my strength, yeah, so that I can step back and have space in the business.
Mm-hmm.
I think the key for all the people that I know that are moving to eight figures, they all say it's like the key from seven to eight is like leveraged leadership, mm-hmm, and space in your business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not doing more. It's actually, yeah, finding ways to do less.
That is seriously what everybody says. And I always, like, up until this year, I thought it was the most annoying thing to hear, because mm-hmm, I was like, no, like, I'm never going to be that person. And then it's like that medicine you don't want to take because
mm-hmm,
it tastes bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it works, right?
Yes.
So I get that. I always like hear from James Wedmore. He's like, this next year, he's only working 100 days out of the whole entire year.
Wow.
He's committed. So he's like taking things off of his plate because he's like, I'm going to make the most money I've made ever in 2020. And I'm going to work the least amount of days. Ever.
Wow.
Because he's just empowering his team. So now he's just like focused on, and that's probably what you're doing too, mm-hmm, is just mm-hmm, focusing on coaching your leaders to be the best.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in that
way,
it's like I find the best talent I can get in mm-hmm, each domain of my business. And then I just focus on, first of all, setting the vision for them and then really just getting out of the way.
Yeah, let them do their thing.
Because if you get, once you have cash in your business and you can find great talent and you have a vision combined with the cash you're going to pay them to get them excited to come to work every day, like that is the most profitable thing you can do, is just find the best fucking people you can get.
What about those? Okay, so what about the people that are listening in right now that are super stuck at around like $8,000 a month? I feel like that's a theme where mm-hmm, people, I don't know if it's mm-hmm, that, just that number, they get stuck there.
Yep.
What would you say? What would be your best advice?
Well, it's going to depend on their business model, like
okay,
how
so
they make money.
Let's say like I have a lot of people listening in that sell courses.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So if you're running a course model, then you are, I mean, are they primarily selling organically? Like with their organic audience,
yes,
to make that 8,000,
they're not really harnessing the ad power.
Okay, so they don't need any like fulfillment help. They don't have any coaches on their staff or things like that. Customer service. Okay, so then the next thing that they need to do is spend on ads. So the thing for them that's going to make the biggest difference is to have an investment mindset with acquiring new customers,
mm-hmm,
because you can get used to, when you fall in love with organic, when you build all your business
yes,
on just organic,
yes,
you can get scared of putting money into ads because it's like, well, I could just get them for free.
I was totally like that. I'm like, I could just message more people. And
yeah, but there's a limit to that. It's mm-hmm, how are you going to get paid? You're either going to put money in and get paid, or you're going to put your time in and get
right,
paid. And in order to have leverage in your business and scale, you have to stop trading time for money, and you have to build a system where you can trade money for more money.
So those people listening in right now that need to learn ads, do you think that they should really learn it themselves, or should they just hire the best talent?
Well, I think that you should learn marketing and ads running as a skill first.
Yes.
You should make it internal first, and then you'll be able to hire and manage the talent appropriately.
Yes. Because otherwise then you blindly spend,
yep,
and because you don't understand the terms, you're like, okay, that sounds good. Yeah. You just kind of will continue to pay and you might be losing money.
Yeah. And exactly. And you'll just learn through a lot of hard experience through not knowing what is important to look for.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's like, I always look over my ad agency's work and I can see like, or my internal team's work now, because I've just brought everybody in-house as not an agency. Because I learned it first and then I hired an agency and now I'm bringing it in-house. But I could always look over their work and see, oh, like, are they getting good cost per clicks? Are they getting good cost per lead, cost per application? Yeah. Like, is this working? If it's not, I know how to make changes to fix it. But until you know that as a skill set, you're just literally beholden to somebody else running your stuff. And I think that's not a secure place to run
a
business.
So many people are in that spot listening in right now because they have the story that, well, I'm just not a numbers person. Or
There's no successful business owner that doesn't love numbers. Like no CEO, no great founder that doesn't understand and love the numbers of their business. Here's the thing. A lot of people say they don't love numbers. What they're afraid of is the truth. They're afraid of the reality. That's what numbers are. Numbers are just telling you a story about what's real.
Oh my gosh. So good.
Yeah. So like, stop being a baby. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're talking to the big girl.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the big girl now. Yeah. So don't be afraid of the truth. One of the tenets at my company is seek and tell the truth. Seek and tell the truth. And that's based on a verse in the Bible from when I was a hardcore Christian by Jesus, where he said, seek the truth because the truth shall set you free. Mm-hmm. The truth is freedom, but first it's going to, as Grant Cardone, who also a prophet says, like, but first it's going to piss you off. The truth first pisses you off.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does. Okay. So where do you see yourself in the next like 5 years?
Well, I definitely see us growing Life Changer as the one-stop shop for fit pros and health pros to go all the way to seven figures. Okay. Seven figures every single year. Coached 1,000.
So you have the process. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like year by year to get there. Over the next year, I see us offering other product lines through our students, like offering apparel lines that they can sell to their students and offering supplements they can sell.
Are you coming out with your own equipment. Supplement line?
Yeah. Yeah. All this stuff. Fitness equipment that they can sell to
What's
their supplements.
What's your favorite supplement?
Definitely nootropics, like energy, like stimulants.
Yes, like it's like do you know what I'm talking about?
B vitamins?
No, it's the honey stuff.
Bee pollen?
Yes, it's like the sticks. We haven't had it. It's
never had that.
Oh my gosh. I think we might have some.
I'm down.
Some at the end.
Yeah, all the nootropics.
It's like, I can't remember the brand. They sponsored Mommy Millionaire Life. Yeah. But
I'm definitely like an uppers person. I like give me more energy. I need more energy to achieve my goals. So yeah, definitely nootropics.
Ooh, so when's that coming out?
Well, I don't have a deadline on that yet because it's not the most important thing. But this is the next 3 to 5 years. Right. Yeah. And it definitely, as Life Changer grows, I'm going to take on other partners that are going to serve other niches, like the spiritual coaches and the Reiki healers or stuff like that. The life coaches, the yogis, those kinds of people. I'll have partners that build out Life Changers. They'll license out Life Changers IP to serve those people in building their service-based businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you're going to kind of take on like the franchise type model?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's because a whole nother ballgame.
It's
we just
totally
looked into that. That's
It's a totally different business. And so it's like, I want to stabilize my core business at low 8 figures at least. And then start adding this on as a different business model to scale.
That is so cool. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
I'm excited.
And what about you?
Well, I mean, so what we're doing in 2020 is we just launched a certification program.
Oh, cool.
For Mommy Millionaire Lifestyle Strategist. So I see that being a $100 million company.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's amazing.
I'm actually doing a certification this next year for online trainers.
Are you really?
Specifically, yeah. Because like half the people that follow me and come to me, they're like, I really want a career in fitness because I love it. But I just don't have the skills.
Yeah.
And so
that's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge. By itself, it'll double.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
Okay. So when is this going to be available for
people? So that's going to be in spring 2020.
Right.
That's
so you guys stay tuned. Stay tuned, people.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what do you think you need to let go of in order to get where you want to get in 5 years?
Well, I'll have to let go of the vision for the original company. Like I'll have to trust the vision to somebody else. Because right now, I set the vision and I find like the key talent, the key relationships we need to scale. And then I'm like holding people accountable on making sure the vision is followed through on. But eventually for the business to be self-managing and for us to be like really scaling to like 50 million, 100 million and so on, I have to let other people like take care of that vision so that I can have multiple partners in different companies that are all executing on a vision for each arm of the business. So yeah, that's definitely the next level.
I love it. So what do you think is going to prevent you from letting go of that? Nothing?
Well, no, there's literally nothing. Like I'll have anything in life that I want. Yeah, yeah, I have so far. I've got a lot of evidence to back that up. And even when I didn't, I could look at other people that had been kicking ass.
But that's the mindset, is that, and you, because you believe that, you're finding proof all day long that you can have and be anything you want to be.
Well, and it's just like, here's one thing that comes up a lot in my community, is a lot of fit pros and health pros, they didn't get into this business, to this industry, to make money. They want to help other people get confidence, feel secure, feel powerful for the first time in their life, because that's what fitness and health did for
them.
That's
why they got started.
So that's why the average trainer, as an example, just that's one career, makes $24,000 a year. The average trainer, there's over 300,000 of them in the United States alone.
How do they live?
That barely is how they live, just hanging on by a thread. But for them, their work gives them a deeper sense of meaning. They're willing to live. Work on less. Mm-hmm. And so when I have all these people come to me and they're like, Sterling, I heard you tell the story of Megan, who went from zero and now makes $20,000 a month, 3 months, and with a tiny following, okay, like 1,500 Instagram followers. Or the story of Heather, who came in with 2,000 Instagram followers. She was making like 1,000 a month and now made over 50,000 just a couple months ago.
That's amazing.
Okay. And this is still before we even put a layer on the ads. This is just like the organic shit. Okay. So that's why I'm just telling you organic numbers, so that you can see how powerful this. They hear this and they're instantly so skeptical. They're like, people in fitness don't make that.
Yeah.
People in health don't make that.
I feel like personal trainers are the most skeptic people in the world.
Really?
Okay. Because when I was building my like health and wellness like team, I thought, oh, I'm going to the trainers right away. And they were like the most negative people. Yep. And then I learned like year two, I was like, I don't talk to trainers.
Right.
I don't talk to anybody that's already been in that space. I'm going just for the mamas because all these people are negative.
Right.
But I think
You can definitely form someone's belief about nutrition or was this about the business opportunity?
This is about the business opportunity.
This is really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. A lot of them were just like they have their supplements that they were going to sell.
Yeah.
Like they weren't open to like another stream of income.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't find that. I mean, my trainers are like,
but, well, this was me back then. So I was like, obviously like focusing in on the wrong people and stuff like that.
Wrong people
and
for you.
And I was
you.
Looking for proof too. Like trainers are negative. And so I kept finding negative trainers.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And so what I do now though, is when people have that negativity, when they have that skepticism, I'm like, listen, I get it. I relate to it. I have compassion for where you are right now. But go to changelivesgetpaid.com and see 1,000 other people and their screenshots and their stories.
Change Lives Get Paid.
Absolutely. Changelivesgetpaid.com.
We're going to link that up.
That's right. Yeah. So it's like, you don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to like say, you don't have to believe me.
Okay.
Just believe them.
So this is such a good point because I talk about this all the time to my clients because I'm constantly saying, don't tell people how great you are. Get other people to say how great you are and your business will be made.
Well, do great for other people and they'll do it automatically.
Well, right. Exactly. Yeah, like, I don't have to ask people to post about me. They just continue to post about me because I'm adding value to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the feedback I get from that. It's like, well, you know, you've already made it. So it's easy for you to say that because you have a lot of people talking about you. But how do you get people to talk about you and get those testimonials when you are day one, just starting out as a coach or a fitness coach? What would be your advice?
One person at a time. Every person matters.
Mm-hmm.
Is that don't despise small beginnings. What I tell my students is like,
love that.
Maybe you only have 400 followers on Instagram as an example. You got people who are seeing your posts, who have lives, who have fears, who have goals, who have dreams and pains right now. Like speak to them, care for them one by one, help them get more of what they want in life. And then they'll happily, first of all, buy your program.
Yeah.
And then second of all, when they're in your program, whether it's a course or a coach program or whatever, make sure that you do everything you can to care about them and make them successful. If you really do the hard work of giving a f- about them, then they'll see it and they'll want to speak well of you in the process. I found for me, it's like my primary job, like the reason why I switched to just serving fitness and health people, like a little over a year and a half ago, I was like, I only serve fit pros and health pros, is because I realized that in order for me to make the product as good as I needed it to be, as I wanted it to be, where it was like every person's life has changed inevitably when they join me, it was like, I have to build it super, super specific. Yeah. I have to make the product so like, it, to where it doesn't need critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
I tell my staff literally all the time, I say, we're going to make this so easy to win with. A 3-year-old certified fitness coach could make 6 figures. Like that is the where we're going. So it's like when you have that level of attention to detail to making your client successful, like they won't be able to help but speak well of you. And if you want to have a great business that scales, that makes a difference, that has you feeling secure, that's the only way you're going to get there.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So good. So, all right. What is the most shameless thing you've done to build your business?
Shameless.
Besides selling your car.
Well, I was going to say that. Shameless.
Shameless. So like, I always talk about—
Give me
like,
an example.
Doing that. Okay. So great. This is like, I need somebody to top this guy, but Russ Perry, who owns Design Pickle. Do you know, have you heard of that company?
No.
So it's like a graphic design company.
Okay.
He built it to $10 million in just the last couple of years. So what he did when he first started out was he dressed up as a pickle and handed out pickles to people at conferences to get them to like notice him and to get him to like make the graphics
for
his company or whatever.
Respect for that guy.
So like that's like he stood out there in a pickle uniform, like a pickle costume. Like that's like hilarious. And he's like, I can't believe I did that, but now it's like the smartest thing I ever did.
Well, one ridiculous thing that I kind of regret doing, which I did for like a month and a half, is I was there was a season where I coached Jake Paul. He's a social media influencer. He's like
did he just become like a pro wrestler or something like that?
That was his brother, Logan.
Okay, I saw Paul.
Who did a fighter.
Okay.
Yeah, he did a big boxing match recently. Got paid well for it. But anyway, I was a coach to him and still am good friends with him. And spending time with him, he built his whole business. He has a huge business in social media. He's like one of the world's leading social media influencers. And he did it on the back of daily vlogs, doing daily vlogs. And I saw his business so transformed by this. And I saw like, yeah, sure. He films for 6 or 7 hours every single day and did for 2 years filming these like super entertaining vlogs. But I thought, you know what? It's worth it. And so I started doing daily vlogs on YouTube. And it was a show. Okay.
Do you still have them up?
They're still up. Some of them are still up. I didn't upload like the last couple of them, but there's like probably 8 or 9 there. They're ridiculous. Yeah. And they didn't help my business at all.
Yeah.
But it was like, hey, I'll be goofy. I'll be silly. I'll teach stuff that's hopefully helpful. I'm going to try this. But yeah, I'm glad that season's over.
Well, I feel like, you know, I did something like when I was first building a network marketing, I went around to one of the biggest malls in San Diego and anybody who was filling out an application, I went up and said, I'm hiring and was like, will you join my team?
Oh, wow.
And nobody signed up, but it's like just that, like, it's like that momentum that you can kind of create by just going like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to like build this business. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, like God gives you everybody that you need to build it big.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
I dig that.
Well, this has been so fun.
This is so fun. I'm just curious. One more question for me is like, who's someone that's changed your life? Maybe in the last year or so.
Oh, in the last year?
Yeah. Just someone that's really deeply impacted you.
I would say, I did something crazy just like a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I went and did like an immersion weekend with my friend Jordan, who she actually ended up speaking at Mommy Millionaire Live. But
oh, cool.
She's a medicine woman. Mm-hmm. And so it was crazy because I like thought I would never like go and like, we did kind of like a silent retreat and then like all this crazy like meditation stuff that I normally would never do.
Wow.
And I feel like she...
You did a silent retreat. How long were you silent
for? Well, it wasn't really silent. That's just what I called it. I don't even know how to explain what we did, but she like made me meditate for basically like 48 hours.
Wow.
And she did like chakra clearings and all this stuff.
Amazing.
Did you ever do any of that?
Never.
Okay. I
lived in a community of people that did that.
Yeah. It's like a little out there weird.
Yeah.
But I would say she's really helped me just even in the last 6 weeks. So I feel like just show up in a different way and be more present. Because I'm
peaceful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks, cool. Jordan.
So where would you like to send people to learn more about you and connect with you?
To Instagram. I love hanging out on Instagram. So it's CAYLA.CRAFT. Mm-hmm. And if you guys are looking for a branding questionnaire, you guys can get something at mommymillionaire.co too.
Yep.
Where do you want everybody to go?
Well, definitely the podcast.
You don't follow anybody on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening,
do you even hang out on there?
I do. I'm doing Instagram stories this week while I'm doing all this stuff. I'm going back on my Instagram game. But I wanted to, again, build the foundation of my business around paid traffic on referrals from my current clients. So I focused on like great product, great advertising, great team. Now I'll go on front-facing stuff. It's like why I'm here with you. It's like now it's time for me.
Yeah, you're doing like a whole tour this week.
Exactly. Yeah. So smart. I'll be back on IG.
Everybody else do a podcast tour. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been super fun.
So follow the podcast.
Yeah, Life Changer Podcast, especially if you're a Fit Pro Health Pro. And if you want help,
I have a ton of those people that follow.
Yeah. So come hang out.
So
let's
they
be friends.
Know about you.
At Sterling on IG, but you know, definitely the podcast.
How'd you get the
first
one name?
Bought it.
Yeah. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. So if you want at Kayla with a C, then you might have to just reach out and say.
I've never actually thought about buying it.
It's
Do
possible.
I want it?
Well, that's I really wanted it because I want Sterling as a brand for a long time. So that, and if you're FitPro and you're like, hey, I'm serious. I want some help building my business. Like, you know, give me, I want your help, Sterling. I want to talk. then go to sterlinggriffin.com/gains, G-A-I-N-Z, sterlinggriffin.com/gains. Let me know more about your business, what you want help with, and we'll see if I can help.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you so much for being on. Had so much fun.
Definitely. This is super fun.
Thank you for listening to the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to mommymillionaire.co. Make sure to follow Mommy Millionaire on Spotify and subscribe on iTunes. And it would mean the world to me if you left a 5-star review of the show. And as always, ladies, go out there and get what you want.